In Luke chapter 18, we have the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus with a question. He wanted to know what to do to have eternal life. Jesus told him to keep the commandments. But the rich young ruler said, "I have kept these commandments from my youth up. What do I lack yet?" Then Jesus told him to go and sell what he had and give to the poor, and then he would have treasure in heaven. So he said to the rich young ruler, "Come and follow me." The rich young ruler went away very sorrowful because he had great possessions. He was unwilling to give up what he had in order to follow the Lord. Now, it's at this point that Jesus said some words that sometimes puzzle people to this very day. He's talking about rich people, and we're going to look at what he says in Luke chapter 18, and also we're going to be turning back to Matthew chapter 19 and also to Mark chapter 10. In Luke chapter 18, we're going to begin right here because the Bible says that when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, this is verse 24 of Luke chapter 18, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Now let's turn back to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading here in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. In Matthew's account, you find some additional details given about this story concerning the rich young ruler and what Jesus said about rich men. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now let's start here with how the disciples reacted. Let's start with their response. The Bible says, when Jesus said these things about rich men, the disciples were exceedingly amazed. Now what we have to do here is to remember the context. What has just taken place here? What kind of discussion has just occurred? Well, we find this conversation taking place between the rich young ruler and Jesus Christ. And what does the Bible say about this rich young ruler? Well, the Bible says that he was very rich. He was not only very rich, but he was a very active religious person. He was a very good moral person. It was very hard for anybody looking from the outside at this young man to find any flaw in his life. It was hard to see anything that was out of line. But of course, Jesus saw into his heart. Jesus knew that his heart was not right, that he was attached to his riches, and that's what he brings out of this young man. But the disciples, you see, looked at the outside. The disciples saw what was external, and so they saw a ruler of a synagogue. Any ruler of a synagogue was basically somebody that people would respect. It was somebody that people looked up to. So he is a successful young man in so many different ways, and he's a good moral person. He has a good reputation in the community. Again, it's just hard to find anything that's missing in his life as far as the outward look is concerned. And so the disciples look at this young man. He is rich, and he's also a very good religious person. And they say, well, if he can't be saved, then who can be saved? You know, it's like some people saying today, when they look at somebody that they admire, when they look at somebody that they really have confidence in, and they look at that person and say, well, if that person's not doing right, I don't know who would be. If that person is not right, then who can be? Well, that's how these disciples looked at the rich young ruler. They said, if he can't be saved, then who can be? If he can't be saved, then it seems like that nobody can be saved. So they were exceedingly amazed. Now let's get to these words that Jesus spoke about rich men. What did he say and what did he not say? And we're going to have to really examine these words here today, so stay with me on this and let's set our hearts and minds to studying and interpreting what Jesus said about rich men. He says in verse 24 these very famous, but oftentimes misunderstood words. He said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." One of the explanations that's been given over the years for this passage is that there was a certain gate in the wall around Jerusalem that was very narrow, and it would be very, very hard for a camel to get through that. It would be very difficult for anybody to ride a camel through that gate or even to lead a camel through that gate. Well, I know that that's a very common idea that people have. You'll read that in commentaries and sometimes even in Bible dictionaries, but I don't know of any hard, good evidence, solid proof that there was such a gate as what we're talking about right here. So regardless of whether you read something in a commentary or in some Bible dictionary, if it doesn't have the source, if it doesn't have the proof and the facts, then we shouldn't put a whole lot of weight into that. Now what we do find is that in the Bible, there is a figure of speech that is oftentimes used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it's called a hyperbole. Now what that means is that the writer or the speaker is deliberately exaggerating for emphasis' sake. He is deliberately or intentionally overstating the wording of the point in order to stress or to emphasize that particular thing. And so this is very, very common. You know, when Jesus talked about having faith to move mountains, when he talked about having the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you remember that we have talked about that in the book of Luke. Well, a grain of mustard seed does not literally have faith. It doesn't have a mind, much less have the ability to believe. Well, Jesus is using that as a figure of speech. And so it's possible here that when Jesus says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, he's not saying it's impossible. He's just stressing the point that so many who have riches trust in their riches, and it's very, very difficult for them to become Christians because what they have to do is what this rich young ruler refused to do. They have to put their trust in God. They have to renounce their dependence and their confidence in their riches, and they have to pledge their loyalty and their faith and their trust to God. There are many people that have riches that are not willing to do that. And so it could be that he's using this figure of speech here to say not that it's impossible for a rich man, but that oftentimes rich people refuse to do this. But there's another possibility, and I believe that this one really brings to light what Jesus is talking about here. And in order to see this, we need to turn to Mark chapter 10. We need to look at Mark's account because Mark is the only one that contains this particular wording here that explains for us what Jesus means when he says these things about rich men. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, that Jesus looked to his disciples and said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered them again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And the Bible says then that they were astonished out of measure. Matthew says that they were exceedingly amazed. But notice the wording. Notice what Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 24. He did not say, "Children, how hard it is for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God." That's not what it says, is it? It says how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Now that explains for us what Jesus means when he says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The rich man that he's talking about in Mark 10, verse 25, is not a man who simply has riches. He is a man who trusts in his riches. He loves his money, his faith is in his money, and his trust is not in God Almighty. So I believe that as you read Luke chapter 18, and you read Matthew chapter 19, and you also read Mark chapter 10, that Mark chapter 10 is really the key to understanding what Jesus talks about because it explains for us what Jesus means when he talks about the eye of a needle and a rich man entering into the kingdom of God. So you have two entirely different ways of looking at people here. You have men looking at other people and judging them, and you have God looking at the person's heart as well as his life. And so that's what Jesus means when he says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When men look at a situation, they say, well, how can that be? Because you see, we as human beings don't see the whole picture. We look at the outside, and actually there's very little that we actually know there because we don't see the person's whole life. We don't see the person's private life, much less the person's heart. And so when we look at an individual, we have a limited way of judging and assessing that person's life and character. But God looks at the entire picture. God looks at that person's whole life. And so with God, God knows exactly what that person needs to do and how that person ought to live his life. Now, it's very interesting here that after Jesus talked about this with his disciples, after they'd seen this rich young ruler and they'd heard what Jesus said, then the Bible says that Peter had a question for the Lord. He said, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus does respond, and when he does respond, he doesn't get on to Peter and say, now, Peter, you don't need to have a selfish motive about this. You don't need to be looking at this and asking what's in it for me or what's in it for us. Because, you see, Peter did make sacrifices. And all of us, folks, when it comes to being a Christian, all of us want to know what lies at the end for us. That's not a bad thing. Now, if the only thing that we're concerned about is getting out of Jesus and getting out of God what we can get in this lifetime and from this lifetime, then there's a problem. But it's not only not wrong, it's right for us to think about the reward that God does offer us if we follow Jesus and obey God. So Jesus answered him and he said basically two things. He said, you're going to be blessed in this life and you're especially going to be blessed in the world to come. In this life, if you have lost, if you have sacrificed and given up houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother, wife, children, and so forth, in other words, if you have sacrificed those things because of your commitment to me, you're going to find those relationships 100 times over in the church, in the body of Christ, because you're going to have brothers and sisters and people who are just like your father and mother. You're going to have spiritual blessings in the church 100 times greater than what you're going to give up in this life. And then in the world to come, Jesus said you will have eternal life. So the story that ended up being a sad ending as far as the rich young ruler was concerned now ends on a good note, and it's a promise to all those who are willing to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.